We will open the meeting with the group saying the Serenity Prayer. This prayer is found in the yellow pamphlet and on page 2 of the conference flyer. Let's pause for a moment of silence for those who are facing challenges in and out of the program. Then we'll unmute and say it together. Together,
God, grant the serenity to accept the things I can change, courage to know the difference.
Welcome to the second annual telephone conference of Emotions Anonymous. This theme is going to be, our theme today has been experience, strength, and hope. My name is Emily, and I'm powerless over my emotions. Please mute yourself by pressing star 6 or using the button on your phone so we may have a quiet meeting. We have discovered that our EA fellowship is warm and friendly. We come here to live a new way of life through the 12 steps. As we learn to place our problems in their true perspective, we find they lose their power to dominate our thoughts and lives. The meeting is open for anyone who would like to share your first name and where you are calling from. Press star 6 to unmute and again to mute after you're done. Would anybody like to share your first name and say where you're from?
This is Avis from North Carolina. Welcome to everyone.
Hi, Avis.
Hi there, Emily. Thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Frank from Illinois.
Hi, Frank. Welcome.
Thank you.
Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hi, Jennifer.
Colin from the UK.
Hey, Colin.
This is Nancy from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Greta from Michigan.
Hi, Greta. Welcome. Anybody else who would like to introduce themselves?
Hi, it's Marcia from Waterloo, Ontario, Canada.
Welcome, Marcia.
This is Cheryl, powerless over my emotions, from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Cheryl. Welcome.
Thank you for your service, Emily.
Jackie in Phoenix.
Hi, Jackie. Welcome.
Jeanette from Louisiana.
Hi, Jeanette. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm originally from Louisiana.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyone else? Okay. I have an announcement. To be added to the loop, our email discussion forum, open the menu on our website at emotionsanonymous.org and click on Get Involved. Then click on Sign Up for the Loop. Also, EA has a monthly newsletter called the EA Connection. To find it, go to the homepage of our website and click on Literature. You may also call EA International Service Center at 651-647-9712 to receive the connection by mail. At our meetings, we use first names only. Many of us add powerless over our emotions. Comments made here are treated confidentially to uphold our tradition of anonymity. Anonymity assures that only we have the right to make our membership in EA known to others. Criticism and arguments are avoided to ensure easy and open-minded discussions. Experience has shown that it's more productive to discuss solutions rather than problems. Please refrain from crosstalk, which is unasked for advice or comments from another person, and also feedback, as these can divert us from the step or topic for the meeting. We will now read the promises from the yellow pamphlet. Who would like to help with that reading?
This is Frank. I can help.
Okay. I'm getting them out right now. Okay. Thank you, Frank. Why don't you read the first four, and then do we have someone else who would like to read the next four?
This is Cheryl. I can help.
Thank you, Cheryl. And then what about the last four?
I can help.
Thank you. Okay. I think, Frank, you're starting, right?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Emily. The 12 promises. 1, we realize a new freedom and happiness. 2, we do not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. 3, we comprehend the word serenity and know peace of mind. 4, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we see how our experience can benefit others. Path.
5. The feelings of uselessness and self-pity lessen. 6. We have less concern about self and gain interest in others. 7. Self-seeking slips away. 8. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life changes. Pass.
5. Our relationships with other people improve. 7. We intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. 11. We acquire a feeling of security within ourselves. 12. We realize that God is doing for us what we could not do ourselves. Pass.
Thank you. I'm going to just read that last thing. These may seem like extravagant promises, but they are not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. EA has a 17-pamphlet Living with Emotions set on the website, and it's designed to help us cope with various emotions. During this session, Avis will share on loneliness, which is one of the topics from the set. You can go online and you can look at all the different emotions. Avis, you
yes.
can share for 20 or 25 minutes, and then I will let you know when you have 5 minutes left. Is that okay with you?
That sounds good. I will probably share for about maybe 15 or 20 minutes. So if you give me a 5-minute warning, that would
okay.
work.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your service. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you good.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Good afternoon to everyone. My name is Avis from North Carolina. And I am definitely powerless over my emotions. The topic of loneliness is an interesting topic for me because as I look at my life, I have really been a very lonely, isolated person for much of my life. To describe where I live, I grew up in the country. Our road was recently paved about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So I lived near a dirt road. And it takes about 15 to 20 minutes to get to a town to buy food. So where I live is very isolated. So in growing up, even though I lived kind of close to my cousins and different other children, our family was kind of looked up upon in growing up as, you know, the black family of choice, if you will. You know, we were looked at, you know, as being very religious, very forthright, very honest people. And because of that, some of the adults were very jealous of our family. And that jealousy trickled down to their children. So my mother, being the overprotective person that she was, didn't allow me to play with those children that much because they were so mean to me. They would make me cry. I would come in the house screaming because somebody had said something to me. So a lot of my time was spent alone. A lot of my time was spent alone. And my mom and dad bought me different toys and different activities so I could, so I could entertain myself. So the loneliness that we talk about, I experienced at a very early age. As a matter of fact, I connected more with older people than I did with my own age. So this went on most of my life, most of my early days, being by myself. Also, when I became a teenager, most of the time teenagers date and go out and dance and, you know, have a good time at parties and all that. Well, my mom and dad...
Experience has shown that it is more productive to discuss solutions rather than
problems. If
someone
would mute their line, we would appreciate it. Just press star 6 to mute yourself. Thank you. And during this time in growing up, I remember so vividly being by myself, having all my snacks in a row, and looking at Johnny Carson late at night. That's how I spent most of my weekends. Instead of going out and going to a football game or whatever, I spent it by myself. So I was really a very lonely child in growing up. When I went to college the first time, I remember so well what I said when after my mom and dad put me off to school. I was like, hallelujah, I'm not with them anymore. I can do whatever I damn, excuse me, I damn well, please, pardon my English. So during that time, I was very unaware of my manic depressive disorder, which is called cyclothymia, a mild case of bipolar disorder. So I would meet with friends, make friends real easy, stay up late at night laughing and talking, go to dances, do everything that I could have done while I was at home. And this helped me not to feel as lonely, but it also caused me not to take care of myself as far as my education goes. So I basically stayed at that college for 3 years and did not get a degree and ended up having to come back home, still isolated, still lonely, still depressed. And that's one thing, too, that I want to add is that during this time in growing up, I was very depressed. I would go from being very depressed and teary-eyed, you know, a crybaby, they used to call me, to very manic and very excitable and, you know, doing things fast doing a whole lot of things at one time. That's how my mental illness manifested itself. So after those first three years of college, I came home and I worked as a substitute teacher for the county. And I was still very much a loner, still very much finding friends with older people. Now, when I went to college the first time, I did have the experience of being with people my own age. And that was my first time really having that experience. So I still kept in contact with some of those folks. As a matter of fact, some of those people I still stay in contact with to this day. But basically, I was still a loner, still very lonely, still very manic because, and I have to watch out for this now, whenever I felt lonely, I would call my friends. And if I couldn't get them, I would call them again and again and again just to, I might not even have that much to say. I just need to hear somebody else's voice. And this caused me to lose friends sometimes because of not respecting their boundaries. So, you know, being lonely sometimes has caused me to act out with behaviors that are not so good. After this, I went to college in Virginia and got my degree in music therapy. And I really enjoyed going back to school, made a lot of good friends during that time, but still found myself depressed sometimes and feeling very alone. And after I got my degree, I came home, worked as a substitute teacher again. No, I'm sorry. That's not right. I went to Philadelphia and did music therapy for a minute. And that's where I found out about a 12-step program because I was a member of Overeaters Anonymous. I found that out from a therapist that I was seeing. And that was helpful. But even though I lost the weight that I needed to lose, I was still a very lonely person, very, very lonely, very, very isolative, talking incessantly over the phone, still carrying on those self-defeating behaviors. After I did what I needed to do in Philadelphia, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and I still was in program, but I also added the program of Codependence Anonymous along with my overeating. That was helpful to an extent because it helped me to learn how to have more healthy boundaries with myself as well as with other people. But I still exhibited some of the incessant calling and staying up late at night and not taking care of my needs first, those kinds of things. After I had stayed in Atlanta for about 5 or 6 years, I wasn't very good with the handling of my finances. And if I had a dollar for every money order that my mother sent me, I would be rich because my parents always bailed me out whenever I did not, I wasn't able to fulfill my responsibilities. So it got to the point where I needed to do something because I either was going to be homeless because of squandering my money or I could go back home and regroup and do what I need to do for myself. So I decided to come home, back home to North Carolina, back into my my shell, and in investigating different other 12-step programs, I knew from being in Atlanta that I was bipolar. I found that out by hooking up with a psychiatrist who happened to be African American that suggested that I try the drugs Zyprexa and Prozac. And that seemed to help my moods come to more of a middle instead of being very, very manic or very, very depressed. So my mood evened out. And coming back home, my mom and dad were up in age, and I helped take care of them. And during this time, I felt like I needed support. There were no 12-step program meetings where I was, so I did some research and found out about EA. And I've been in the rooms ever since. And it has been a blessing to me. Being able to talk freely about my bipolar disorder, being able to talk about my lonely feelings, it was very helpful. Because one of the things that was taught to me by my mother especially was, well, Avis, you really can't trust people. The only people that you can trust is your family. And I found that not to be true. So my mother and I had a love-hate relationship with each other. And before she died, I was able to talk with her about some of the feelings that I had toward some of the things that she taught me. And we settled with each other. And before she passed away, I had a better relationship with her. And with my father, I always had a good relationship with him. He always understood what I need to do for myself. So at any rate, in being in EA and being in other 12-step programs, I learned several things. And I'd like to share that, share with you with this by reading some of the brochure on loneliness that EA has printed out. First of all, to resolve loneliness, I found out that I needed to take responsibility for my own happiness. I could not continue to blame mom and dad for my lot, for my situation. I needed to, as we say sometimes, put on my big girl panties and take responsibility for my life and for how I'm feeling. The second thing the pamphlet talks about is understanding the thoughts. Journaling was something that I used to do early on in my 12-step recovery. And journaling was very helpful to me because it helped chronicle how I was feeling and the reason why I was feeling that way. So it helped me to understand my thoughts better. The third point they talk about is self-acceptance heals shame. And that is something that I'm still working on. Because when I look at my life and I look at some of the ways that I use my time, sometimes I feel embarrassed. Sometimes I feel a lot of shame because I felt like I wasted time. But when I really take a good look at the whole picture, God was with me during everything that I went through. So I can learn how to accept my past and do better in my future. The fourth point they make in the pamphlet is I need people. And that's something that I learned real early that I need people in my life. I need to be around people my age. I need to be able to converse with them and to share what I was going through in a healthy, positive way. The fifth point is turning to our higher power. And one of the things that I learned and that I continue to learn is when loneliness comes up for me, I pray and I ask God to be with me in my loneliness. And when I do that, it never fails. Somebody calls me on the phone or God gives me a name of a person that I need to make an outreach call to. Or I sit with my uncomfortable feelings because they're just feelings. They don't stay with you forever. And I learn how to sit through it and wait until they dissipate. The sixth point is honesty and self-disclosure. One of the things that I learned the hard way about was sharing my personal business with people that didn't mean me any good. I had to learn the hard way that my personal business, especially when it comes down to talking about my bipolar disorder, needs to be told by people that are trustworthy and that will not discuss it other than between you and the other person. I had to learn that. And my seventh point is practicing acts of service. It is so important to my recovery that I get out of myself and I be a sponsor to someone else, and that I can share things with and share my experience, strength, and hope with. That's basically it. Now, my life now is, it's not as lonely. I do have lonely times. My mom and dad passed away 2 years ago, and I miss them. And I do have my lonely moments, but I learn now to use the power of prayer and meditation to get through those times. And I learn how to use the telephone wisely and to call people and to accept phone calls from people so that the loneliness dissipates. My moods now are more evened out. And as I said before, I pray when I get lonely. And I try to be respectful of people's space as far as calling them on the phone. So that is what I have to share about loneliness. And I'd like for a subject to be, what do you do when you feel lonely? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ava, so much for sharing with us.